Yeah. more than just a man who walked the shores of Galilee, and he's more than just a man who made those blinded eyes to see. He's more than just a man who hung upon that cruel tree. He's my Savior, and he's everything to me.
He's my Savior, and he's everything to me.
Morning, where would we be today? So you think about that while I sing the second verse for you. Oh, he's more than just a man who walked barefooted on the sand, and he's more than just a man who had those nail scars in his hands. He's more than just a man who raised old Lazarus from his grave. He's my Savior, and he died my
Savior, and he's everything to me.
Listen to that song and think about what he means to you. Don't think about nothing else. He's the difference in my life. I'm telling you that right now. There would be no life for me other than through the Lord. And I'm thankful for that. I hope you brought your Bible. It's the same place as last Sunday. Ain't that something? Same place. I never would have thought it much. I had to think back. Yeah, that's the same spot we was in last week. So you ought to know where to go. I ain't going to tell you. Oh, wait a minute. You might not have been here. For visitors, visitors only, okay? If you were here last week, go ahead and plug your fingers in your ear. For visitors only, this is the 20th chapter of the book of John, okay? So don't be sharing that information. It's a secret. This morning, I want to reflect just a little bit on a verse or two. One of the verses that was mentioned is that the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And when you talk about that, That meant there wasn't a surprise what happened in the Garden of Eden. It wasn't a surprise. God didn't throw up his hand and say, woe is me, what are we going to do when Adam sinned? It'd been very easy for him to say, well, let's just kill man, get it over with. But it'd been very easy. I'm thankful for his mercy, his grace, his goodness toward me. Even though he was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world, I like it because the scripture says that even just an individual like John the Baptist saw him for the very first time, very first time he ever laid eyes on him. Whenever he saw him coming over that, I'm going to have to say a hill. It probably is a sand dune. I don't know. But when he saw him for the very first time, he said, behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, how did he do that? How in the world did John understand that? Well, when you know the Lord, you see, you don't have to see him with these eyeballs to know the Lord. It's by faith. And by faith, whenever he saw him for the very first time, he knew exactly who he was and the reason why he came. I don't know about you, but one day I'll see the Lord. May not see him with these eyes, but I'll see him with the eyes that God gives me one day. And whenever I see him for the very first time, I could say the same thing. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away the sin of the world. Now, I could refine it just a little bit. Behold, the Lamb of God, which took away my sins. I'm a little selfish in that respect. When Jesus was baptized by John in that Jordan River, God happened to speak out of heaven. He happened to say, hey, I want you to know something, folks. Now, this is my words. I want you to know something, folks. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I kind of like that. You know what? That meant what John 3:16 really means. John 3:16. For God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, and remember again, I'm going to be selfish, that was me. That's you. Whosoever believeth in him. Believeth don't mean you have to see it, does it? Believing comes from that heart. Whosoever believeth in him. Wow. Well, I could stay right there and we'd never get through, but whosoever believeth in him should not perish. And we also, we get a benefit. It's called everlasting life. Wow. John chapter number 20, verse 1, the first day of the week, cometh Mary Magdalene early when it is yet dark unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taketh away from the sepulchre. She come running, and she runneth, and came to Simon Peter, to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto him, they have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth and that other disciple and came to the sepulchre, and they ran both together. The other disciple did outrun Peter and came first to the sepulchre, and he stooping down, looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet he went not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him and went into the sepulchre and seeth the linen clothes lie. And the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. I love that, but we don't have time. Then when he and also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. They hadn't quite grabbed it. That you can hear words. You can hear words, but sometimes you don't comprehend what you're hearing. I have that problem. So you hear it, but what does it really mean? Verse 10, then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre. and see a two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. There they said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto him, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. May we pray. Thank you, Father, for the reading of your word. Thank you, Father, for this precious word that we read from. And, oh, our Father, we ask you to look into our hearts today. God, see what's in there. God, see if, God, we are born again. God, see if we are lost. And, oh, God, if there's someone here today that's lost, I pray you touch their heart. Help us, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The scriptures that we read, have read up to so far, lead us to a point. They looked at the sepulcher and they saw that it was empty, and they had some unbelief. In her mind, when we speak of this lovely Mary, she thought someone stole him. You see, they all did not understand resurrection. Kind of a impossibility, wouldn't it have been? I mean, really, if we go to the cemetery, if we didn't know the Bible and we didn't know any of this right here, and someone says, well, you know, they're going to come out of that grave one, we wouldn't believe that, would we? I'm very skeptical. Man, I get texts on my phone all the time that I have run tickets, and we were talking about them yesterday. I've got tickets in Tennessee because I done something wrong. And I'm thinking, how? I ain't been in Tennessee in a long, long time. How did I get that? If I believed everything I saw, you see what I'm talking about? But the truth of it is, there is a book that you can read from that every word is true. And that word that we're reading from today talks seriously about a subject that even Mary did not understand. And Mary said, you know, they have taken away my Lord. And I don't know where they've laid him. And this is where we want to start reading now. Just a couple of verses all. Verse 14, and when they had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. What Jesus here says to Mary in the first little few words, she didn't grab it at all, did she? She didn't know who he was. How can the Lord speak to us and us not know that it's the Lord? How can the Lord speak to us and us not know that it's the Lord? We ought to be able to recognize the Lord at any point, at any time. We would think that, wouldn't we? But do you know how the Lord works? The Bible describes that he works in mysterious ways. There are things that God does in your life that you may never see the Lord. Bible says and teaches us that we sometimes entertain angels unawares. That means, I believe, we get a heavenly presence sometimes in our presence right here in the day that we live in, and sometimes we don't realize that it's God working, it's the Lord working right in our life, and sometimes we just don't see it. We don't hear the warnings. We don't pay it no attention. It's like God's speaking it. God's showing us. It's as plain as a nose on our face, as we say. But we don't see or hear God. But here's where I want to begin. I want us to get down to the part where I want you to see when Jesus finally recognizes and says to Mary who he is, the very first thing the Lord says to her is, "Touch me not." The very first thing. Now, I want to tell you, the Lord could have done many of things in this world. But the one thing that he said was for somebody else's benefit as well as Mary. And you might not realize this, but every word that's in the Word of God is in there for a reason. Everything. There's not a story in this Bible that wasn't intended for a purpose. There's not idle words in there to take up space. When Jesus said unto her, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father," that must mean it had a deeper meaning than what was on the surface. Because it's nothing wrong. It would have been nothing wrong for that rejoicing time that she sees him for the first time after she could have saw him die and no longer breathe and think it's all hope is gone. And the very first reaction would be reach up there and hug him and grab him. But the Lord says, "Touch me not." Why is it? Is the Lord, he just don't want us? He doesn't care for us? He doesn't love us? Friend, if anybody loves us in the world, God does. Now, I'm telling you, the Lord put up with a lot of stuff on this earth for me and you. The Lord goes through a lot of things right now. There's people that take God's name in vain on a daily basis, like every other word coming out of their mouth, and God still loves them. It'll save their soul just like that, Johnny, on the spot. But here's the scripture that says, "Touch me not." Why was that? See, to be that supreme sacrifice was not just to die on the cross. No. Oh, that was important. It was not just to be buried in that tomb, in that grave. Oh, that's very important. And it wasn't just to resurrect from the grave. It was very important. You know what he had to do? He had to go back to the Heavenly Father and present himself as the ultimate sacrifice. Now, if you look at it from that respect, even the touch of a man's hand could corrupt. Even the touch. Why? We wanted God to be the holy one, the only one. There is none other sacrifice. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Friend, Jesus was the only way that we would ever have life. And I'm thankful he didn't compromise even to Mary to be able to say, "Mary, it's okay, but nobody else can touch me." I'm glad he made it equal for every single one of us, and salvation was bought by Jesus for every single one of us. Every one of us. Well, that's important. But still, there was more said. What he said there on that day was, "I must ascend to my Father. I must go to my Father." Now, let me tell you, you know, my Bible tells me that whenever somebody saves, there's rejoicing in the presence of angels over one sinner that repents, okay? So there's rejoicing in heaven when somebody gets saved. Don't you know on that day when Jesus comes back up to heaven, where God the Father is on his throne, and he goes up on that day, friend, don't you know there was rejoicing in heaven on that day? It had to be. Friend, I don't care if Jesus was just gone 33 years, and that's kind of what we figure. And if he was gone about 33 years and he's away, friend, you'll miss somebody. In the whole scheme of time, 33 years is a drop in the bucket. But there's more. There's more. Friend, there was nothing like when Jesus would go to a mountain apart to pray. Nothing like it. He would separate himself from the disciples and he would go off and pray. I wonder what he would do. I believe he would stand there, sit there, and talk to the Heavenly Father in a conversation just like me and you would have. A relationship. That love that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit has is none other. It's a relationship that grows. And can I share with you something? Since I've been saved, I have tried just a little bit to start to develop that kind of a relationship that I can talk to God. It's called prayer. First few times I did it, I was very, very terrible at it. Because when the day that I got saved, I really can't remember the words that I said. I just had to say, Lord, save me. I'm a sinner. I was very poor at praying. I'm still very poor at praying, but at least God knows my heart whenever I pray. Sometimes words don't come out right. Things don't just soothe the soothing heart, but God knows my heart, and God knows my reason, and God knows why I pray. And whenever I pray, I believe it's kind of like what Jesus did whenever he would talk to the Father. It's a relationship. A relationship. It's a wonderful relationship. But let me show you what actually the Word of God says here in this verse. Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and here's what I want you to tell them. Say unto them, I ascend, which means I go unto my Father. Notice those next three words. And your Father. I go to my Father and to your Father. I go to my Father and I go to your Father. Now he told them to tell. Now, Mary is to relay this. It would have been very easy for the Lord says, don't tell anybody this. But I'm going to my Father and to your Father. Don't tell nobody. No. He wanted them disciples to know that all of God's children has a Father in heaven. Now that may not mean much to you. But if you could understand what a Heavenly Father really is. That Heavenly Father is the one that loves you when you're bad. That Heavenly Father loves you when you're in need. When you're cold, He'll warm you. When you're hot, He'll cool you. When you're hungry, He'll feed you. Friend of mine, I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. There's been some times in our life, ain't you glad there's been times in your life when God, you know it's God taking care of you? ain't it good to know that God the Father, God the Father was up there just waiting on the Lord. Hey, that's His whole job. He was just waiting on the Lord. And when the Lord got there, listen, when the Lord got there, Mary and those other disciples could have said this. Now listen. They could have said, where's Jesus? Here's the way they could have said it. They could have said, well, no, he's just gone to his Father. They could have said it, he's gone to our Father. Now you may have your earthly father here. You may be able to go and visit him. If he's still alive and you go and visit him, whenever you go up to your earthly father, you will say something like, hey, daddy, or whatever you might call him. And whenever you go up there and you speak to him, and it's a relationship that you have been raised under. And raised and grown up, and that relationship has grown strong. But if your earthly father has died, that relationship has been broken. Mine's been gone many, many, many years. Don't have that relationship. I can't go and talk to him. Can't ask him what advice I want to give. But I want you to know something. That relationship with my earthly father may have been broken, but my relationship with my heavenly Father has never been broken. Never. There's been times in my life when I have not talked to my heavenly Father. But my friend, the relationship wrong has been on my fault and not his. But that wasn't the only thing that Jesus said. Now I got to hurry because time is running by. Jesus said unto her, I go to my Father and to your Father and to my God. And bingo, he says it again. I'm going to my God and your God. Ain't that a different relationship? Hey, because we can relate very easily because we have an earthly father. We relate easy on talking about a father. But let's talk about God. For a moment, just to think about it. Remember in the book of Genesis, let us make man in our image. Can I say it this way? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they got in a huddle and they said, what are we going to do? This is what we're going to do. That's a bad analogy. But the truth of it is they could talk about, let us make man in our image. We got it all figured out. Now, that ain't the way they did it, but I'm going to tell you that. Now, watch this. When God makes a decision, and God makes the decision that the sun's going to be in the sky and the moon's going to come at nighttime and all, you know, none of us say, well, I think it ought to be the other way around. You know what we do? We trust God. We trust God to do everything godly. Everything. We trust God with all the big decisions, the little decision. We just, as a servant of the Lord, you know what I'm supposed to do? Serve Him. Now you listen. There was a feller that he had a little relationship with God. In fact, in the Bible, it's not mentioned very often, but that little relationship that he had with God one day, he began to preach, and he just began to warn sinners of their way, and they didn't like it, they hated him, and they gnashed on him with their teeth, and they took rocks and started throwing them. And they started throwing them, and when they started throwing them at this man is fixing to die. But here's what happened. He says, I see Jesus standing. Now, if I stopped there, it wouldn't mean as much. But I see Jesus standing. Boy, if you don't think folks will get kind of perturbed, if you think you can see a vision, they'll get perturbed. Because are you holier than they are? But that ain't what Stephen just said. Stephen said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Now, I don't know how you figure this out unless you can see Jesus and where he is in relationship to the Father. He's got to be somewheres in that picture, somewheres in his mind. He could see our God and our Father, and he could see the Lord Jesus Christ in one simple picture. Now, why is that important? Friend, the relationship that me and you have is dependent on our relationship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. On resurrection morning, the relationship did not change. On that morning, on that relationship, did we understand a raising from the... No, we don't understand that. But friend of mine, you know what? You don't understand. You trust and believe in God. And all of a sudden, the power to come from the grave is a simple task when you believe God. The power to forgive sin is a simple task when you believe God. The power to make the Red Sea roll back is a simple task when you believe God. But friend of mine, if you do nothing, if you say, I won't believe, then you'll never believe that Jesus rose from the grave. You'll never believe it. You'll say it's a fairy tale. It's just a book. It's nothing. There's no power in that book. There's no power in the Word of God. There's no power in the preached Word. Friend, if you don't believe in the book and the power of the preached Word, then guess what? It's by the foolishness of preaching that'll save those that'll believe. Now, you know why that was put in there? Because right now we don't have the bodily, physical sight of the Lord Jesus Christ, the body, physical sight that we might say of God the Father. We have to trust Him by faith. Now listen. So whenever He told them to go tell the disciples that He has rose from the grave, He could have said that. Go tell them disciples everything's going to be all right. He could have told him that. But now, if you remember last week, we had old Doubting Thomas that just didn't believe in that resurrection. And he said this. He said this. He said, whenever, unless I can reach my hand, I'm not going to believe it. I'm not going to say it. No, and there's not any part of this that I'm going to have any dealings with. You know, we're all kind of stubborn. But here's what I want to read, and you don't turn or nothing. Just verse 20 of that, which is a little bit further down. Jesus appears back to those disciples after He ascended and He come back. Verses 19, He comes up and He stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be unto you." All right, now watch verse 20. And when He had so said, He showed unto them His hands and His side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Now I want you to know, my heavenly Father was pleased with what Christ done. Friend of mine, when Jesus did what He did, there's rejoicing because of what's happening in heaven. There's rejoicing at the resurrection power. But friend, when the relationship comes down to an individual, I know Jesus can forgive sin. I know He can save my soul. I know He's my Redeemer. But friend, when those disciples saw it for the first time, it just says, they were glad. They were glad. When I finally realized that God saved my soul, I finally become glad. I've had a heart that could love and care. But I've also had a heart that's been stony and cold. And when, friend, before I got saved, I reflected stony and cold. But when Jesus spoke the right words to my heart, it was just like showing me for the first time the nails in His hand and the scars in His side, because He died for me. For me. And whenever God convicted me of that right there, and I went to an altar to get saved, whenever I got saved, all of a sudden I become glad. Now watch this. Why does resurrection mean something? Because if there is no resurrection, friend of mine, there is no hope. I'm glad one day we celebrate today. We can look about all the troubles and things of all that's happening in this world. And I'm so thankful they got that pilot, they rescued that pilot. But can I just be kind of selfish for a moment? Ain't it nice that the Jews over there, they wouldn't bomb anything while this was going on till we found that person? Ain't it good it just happened on this weekend? It's a coincidence. Well, okay, believe what you want, but I think God had something to do with it. Friend of mine, I want you to know, when God gives life, there's rejoicing in somebody's family because they found that pilot. You know they know because they tell stuff like that to the families. And you know they were rejoicing whenever they found that pilot. But friend, they was rejoicing in heaven whenever I got saved.
It'll outdo what that rejoicing was for that pilot. It may not make the newspaper, but my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that's all that matters to me. Resurrection power may not mean a hill of beans to you, but it sure is a way that I got in. Because if I get in, it's all because of Jesus. It ain't because of me. If I get in, it's all because of His shed blood. It ain't because of my shed blood. If I get in, it's all because of the glory that was shed and the glory that's revealed when God went to heaven. When Jesus went up there and presented Himself, He was just like saying, oh, guess what? One day Redmond Talley is going to ask to be saved. I make it possible. I make it possible. And you're here today, friend. He makes it possible for you. And that possibility, because Jesus said, I go to my Father and your Father. I go to my God and your God. I'm glad I'm saved. How about you? If you died today, would heaven be your home? Beyond a shadow of a doubt, do you know that you're saved? Do you know that you have passed from death unto life? Don't go and come and shake the preacher's hand. That won't do you no good. Don't go to the baptistry waters and think I'll just get baptized. That won't do you no good. The only thing that's going to do you good is for you to confess your sin to God. And if you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's what He can do for you. Let's have a song, Brother Greg. Today, He's my Father and He's my God. My Father and my God. But it was only made possible through the resurrected power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And ain't you glad to know he couldn't wait to tell it just as soon as he got out of the grave and just as soon as he told the folks, go tell them disciples what's happening. How about you? Are you prepared? Are you ready? May we stand and sing a verse. God's speaking to you and you need to come. You come today.